Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, it's almost New Year's Eve. Not quite, but have you been thinking about resolutions, about goals? Well, most of us think about them and sort of just go on by and say, well, that's probably not going to happen anywhere. And, you know, there was a cartoon yesterday, I believe it was in the Omaha World Herald, that a little difficult to describe a cartoon, but basically it's the between friends. Two women are talking, and the one says to the other, well, what's your New Year's resolution? And the other one says, to make $1 million. Well, her friend said, well, that's ridiculous. Resolutions are supposed to be things that are attainable. And she said, yeah, like I resolve to go to the gym 3 times a week and give up French fries, like that's going to happen. So I might as well make a resolution that's not going to happen anyhow. Well, why bother about taking the time to even think about it if that's the way you feel about it? And, you know, I'd rather think about it as a goal than a resolution. And 4-H'ers learn about setting goals. And one of the things that they talk about in setting the goal is, of course, make it something that could be attainable. And most important, setting a date, you know, so take those steps and set a date rather than, well, I want to lose 20 pounds, according to some surveys, of course, getting fit, losing weight is one of the top resolutions that people make. But how long does that get carried out? More apt to get carried out, perhaps, if you set a small step and set a date so you can say, yeah, I completed that. Maybe it's in 2 weeks or maybe it's in a month I want to get something accomplished, but make it attainable and make it something that you, the person who's doing the goal setting, can really have some control over, can really work on, rather than, well, I want everybody to like me. Well, that's too big a goal in the first place. And secondly, you know, no matter what you did, you couldn't make everybody like you because they're in control of their feelings, not you. So make it something attainable and put a date on it and something that's within your power to make a change. I think those are some of the kind of guidelines for setting goals. And moving on, going back to one of the most set kind of resolutions has to do with getting fit. Again, if you are not feeling like you can move it on, that really means that you probably should be set working on moving on. And, you know, other people can tell you what to do. There's a couple little research projects, not just surveys, that I thought I would mention. One is about sitting. Sitting for hours may raise your risk of some types of cancer, even if you get aerobic exercise during other parts of the day. But sitting is really bad for you. Now, does that mean you can't do a job and do a job that requires sitting? No, it means every so often getting up and moving around a bit. And the researchers examined the results of 43 studies on a total of roughly 4 million people. Nearly 69,000 of whom had been diagnosed with cancer. And the risk of colon cancer was 54% higher for those who spend the most time sitting while watching TV, and 24% higher for those who spent time sitting at a desk or for their work throughout the day. Other kinds of cancer, uterine cancer, was much higher for people who did lots of sitting. Now, you know, if your job requires sitting, again, you got to do your job, but that doesn't mean you can't get up once in a while. If it's related to watching TV, well, even if you're going to watch TV, it's possible to get up and move around and not just sit for 4 hours. Really easy and tempting to do. Let me tell you, I know that. It's not like I'm the guru of this, I've done all these right things. But it does encourage a person, I think, to know that getting up and moving a bit can be helpful and healthful. And another study related to a combination of aerobic resistance and flexibility training. Now, this was a program where there was a more defined kind of exercise program. But the researchers randomly assigned 1,635 sedentary older adults. Now we're talking about ages 70 to 89. We're not talking about any young squirts here. And these over 1,000 people were assigned to either a moderate intensity physical activity program or the control group that just did very minimal kinds of exercise, stretching and so on. Well, the physical activity program, which took place either at a fitness center or at home, you know, don't have to belong to a fitness center to do this. But the daily goal was walking for 30 minutes, 10 minutes of balance training, and then some large group flexibility exercises. So that may seem like, count me out on that. That's not possible at all. Well, with a little bit of study, yeah, it probably is. After 2.5 years, the physical activity group had an 18% lower risk of major mobility disability kinds of issues. And major mobility disability is defined as an inability to walk about 1/4 mile within 15 minutes without sitting or help from another person. So can you do that? I don't know. There might have been a time in my life when I couldn't have done that. 1/4 mile within 15 minutes. That's not real fast. The physical activity group that didn't do inclusive kind of exercise, that group had 28% had a lower risk of persistent mobility disability, indicating that exercise helps people recover after they have temporarily lost mobility. So what is it you can do? Well, go for a walk. If you like to swim, run, maybe not in most of our planning, but for many of you, ride a bike in the summertime, play golf, tennis, go dancing, take a class, do gardening. I think the bottom line here for all of it is just move it. And finally, one other, it's a book that I've had for quite some time, probably going close to 20 years now, but it's called Strong Women Stay Young. And it was a particular project by a person who was, you know, concerned with women and staying young. But she started out, based this program on some work done by another person who did an exercise program with people ranging from young. But She started out based this program on some work done by another person, young. 86 to 96 years, I guess, young. And I can think the basic idea behind this is that, you know, if you stay a bit active, it's going to help you. And in this group, in the initial young, but it's going to help you. And in this group, in the initial test group, most relied on walkers or canes, and several had leg muscles so weak they couldn't rise from a chair without assistance. And 3 times a week for 8 weeks, they faithfully came to exercise room and lifted weights. Now, we're not talking major. You know, you say lift weights and you go, oh my gosh, what are we talking about here? Well, lifting weights can include a can of corn is a starting, you know, a can of food is a starting point if you haven't done any kind of lifting weights. And then you may want to move on to something else. But the results of this program in 8 weeks, that's just 2 months, these frail elderly men and women increased their strength by an average of 175%. On a test of walking speed and balance, the scores rose by an average of 48%. Two participants discarded their canes and then with this small study moved on to much larger studies saying, you know, if you stay active, if you use it, there are great possibilities of maintaining, not becoming an athlete, but just maintaining the ability to move around, play with your grandchildren, do the housework, whatever it is you want to do like that. But here's the bottom line. If you don't move it, you'll lose it. Young, but she started out based this program on some work done by another person who did an exercise program with people ranging from 86 to 96 years, I guess, young. And I can think the basic idea behind this is that, you know, if you stay a bit active, it's going to help you. And in this group, in the initial